Hey, welcome back to another episode of Salty Saints Podcast. I am Zach.
And I am Randy.
And I just noticed that we're really good at, we always do it the same way when we say our names.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Are you copying me, bro?
I've been Randy all my life, so.
You copying me? That's true. So today we are going to be talking about lies that we tell ourselves.
That's right.
That's going to be kind of fun. And there's a lot that goes into that. And we've tried filming this episode twice, and I didn't get it either time. And then we ran out of data on our laptop, and everything has crumbled every time we've tried to film this.
This is literally the sixth or seventh time that we have started this podcast.
Here we go. It's going to work this time. But first, a quick word from our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Okay, Randy, so here we go. We are doing this thing. It's actually happening. And as you reminded me, we have an apology.
That's right, we do. Last episode, we made a big deal. We went on and on for like 5 minutes about how this was the 100th episode. And it wasn't. You already know that by now. If you're looking, you'll see that that was the 101st episode. You probably scratched your head and said, what in the world are these idiots talking about?
Yeah. So what that really comes down to is I'm just kind of dumb and I uploaded out of order. Sorry, everybody, but that's okay because it's kind of fun that it's not really the 100th episode, but it kind of is, but it's not.
That's right.
Yeah. So thank you for celebrating that with us. Thank you for 100 great episodes. And thank you for Ivani Greppi being our actual 100th episode.
Yeah,
that was fun.
That was good.
We had
that
a good time.
That was a good interview.
And so if you haven't heard that, check it out. But today, as I said, we're talking about lies that we tell ourselves. Now, this was kind of I didn't quite get it at first, but I think I finally get it, Randy. So I'm ready to talk about this, but you're totally leading us through this so I don't screw it up.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yeah. So I came to you last week and I said I really want to do an episode on lies that we tell ourselves because that has been significant in my life. I read a book probably 30, 35 years ago by William Backus, and I think it is called Telling Ourselves the Truth. And the point that he makes is that we create lies about ourselves and we tell ourselves those lies. And we're so effective in telling ourselves the lies that we begin to live in the false reality that we've created for ourselves.
Mm. Okay. So just right off the top, do you want to kind of give us a couple examples of what that can look like?
Sure.
Or do you want to just kind of spend the episode talking about lots of those?
Well, maybe both and.
Okay.
But let's start with a couple of examples. I looked up. I don't have his book anymore. I've given it away to somebody, and I have no idea who that somebody is. So if you're listening and you have my book, give it back.
Or you can keep it.
I really don't care. I know the lies that I told myself. One of those was that I just wasn't good enough. I had what they used to call an inferiority complex. Now they call it a lack of self-esteem. And I grew up with that. I had told myself that I wasn't good enough. Mm. And that affected the way that I did things. That affected the fact that I wouldn't try to do many things because I didn't think I could do them.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I lived in the false reality that I created for myself. Now, I'll come back later and remind me later to talk about the truth that is actually true as a result of that and what that did to change my life. But other examples, if I follow my heart, everything will work out.
Right. That's one that you hear the world just kind of pushing on us time. That's like Disney reality.
It is. It is. Yeah. And it is. Oh, it's a lie. It does not work.
Is there a Disney song about following your heart?
Probably.
Here, let's find out. You just keep on going.
I'll keep on going. One of the realities that I think the book talks about, or at least as I was the friend that introduced this book to me talked about, he said that there are a lot of people that believe that there is like a knight in shining armor out there who will come and love me for who I am and love me unconditionally. And I'll just live in that love. Well, the reality is most people do not love unconditionally. Most people love because they are loved in return. Unconditional love means whatever we do, the other person is going to continue to love us. And frankly, the only person that does that is God. There are lines that we all have. And if the people that we love cross those lines often enough and far enough, our love dries up. We end up sometimes just walking away, sometimes just saying, forget about it. I can't continue to do this.
Hmm.
Do those kind of make sense? Have you heard people say those things?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
I have.
And then they live in that reality, and it can be very damaging to them.
Yeah, it's like you create this little, I don't even want to call it like an echo chamber, because echo chambers are at least like, no, I guess it could be an echo chamber. The echo chamber is when you kind of surround yourself with thoughts just like your thoughts, kind of like what social media does.
Yeah.
Right? But like, we are kind of doing that when we kind of culturally accept these lies, right? That we just kind of culturally all jump on board and we're like, oh yeah, that's true. Maybe not the like, you know, oh, I have to be perfect or anything like that. But then like, maybe the follow your heart kind of thing or stuff like that.
Now, some of the things that this was true 35 years ago. You know, we create realities and we live in those realities. It's true today as well, especially on social media. We look at somebody, we interact with someone on social media, and we believe that they are who they say they are. You're in for a surprise.
Have you ever heard of the hit television show Catfish?
Right.
It's terrible.
Oh, yeah. But it's reality.
Well.
No, it's not. Not everybody. Not everybody.
Right.
But you can't just assume that the person on the other side of the phone screen from you is who they say they are. So you always got to have a level of protection out there.
Yeah, I mean, like a healthy dose of not cynicism, but like
suspicion
or like investigation. Like we shouldn't just take people's word on everything they say, but we also shouldn't assume the worst in people. It's just
right.
It's reality, and reality is full of both of those things.
Great Spanish word and a concept they call malicia indígena. Malicia is badness, evil. Indígena is kind of indigenous, natural. And what it refers to is you always just have a little bit of suspicion. Somebody tells you something and you may say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's great. I like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what are they looking for?
Right.
Is this all true? Is there some level of deception going on? And the reason they talk about it is because they want people to develop malicia indígena, that there's a certain level that you'll kind of take a step back and say, okay, is this a lie or is this the truth?
Now, that doesn't mean that we just stonewall people and we build up these giant barriers to which, like, people get through. But, like, it's just a healthy little, like, you got to prove yourself. Like, you know, like, it's what
people. And really, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. I mean, the believers in the church in the Bible, when Paul comes to them and he's like, hey, I'm a changed man, they're like, okay.
Yeah. Let me just keep my family in the other house and let's go meet at Starbucks and talk.
Hey, and by the way, Follow Your Heart is from Cinderella too.
Oh my goodness.
I'm fairly certain nobody even knew that there was a Cinderella too. There probably are those that do, but I'm going to go ahead and put money on straight to DVD release. That's all I'm saying, Disney. Cinderella 2 sounds like something that was a last ditch effort to make a few bucks. But hey, real quick, I found another one though, and I think this might be kind of true. We're all in this together.
Oh yeah.
Is that a lie we tell ourselves?
Yeah. It can be. It certainly can be. Now there may be times that people actually are in this with you.
Right, right. But like to just assume that everybody is just fighting for everybody's highest possible good.
They've got your good at their.
So there's a little brainwashing going on High School Musical's part.
Okay.
You know that song?
Yep. I don't know that song, but I know the concept. I have never seen High School Musical.
It's okay. Honestly, it's not good. Somebody's getting really mad listening to this right now. I like High School Musical. That's okay. You can like High School Musical. I just don't. But that's okay.
I know we've done a podcast on social media.
Oh, but yeah.
So much of social media is very frankly based on deception.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Instagram, we've talked about this before. Just the fact, or you have in sermons. I don't know if we have on the podcast, but just the concept of, you're capturing a moment in time.
And you want that to be the best possible moment.
Right.
The person who is receiving it is thinking, oh, their life must be wonderful.
Right.
When the reality is you took an 8-hour car trip in heat.
Right.
It was horrible to get there. And you're having a good time, but it's not that your whole life is like that.
Dude, okay. So I have so many friends and family members, and especially my fiance, Abby, who really hate the fact that I can't stand taking pictures, like being in pictures being taken. And my reasoning is we're fabricating a moment in time. And that just annoys me that we have to pretend to be like all smiles and giggles. Like, she'll hate this, but like, we just went to do a, sorry, Abby, I love you, but we just went, and took our engagement photos a couple months ago. And like the whole time, the photographer, she's like, okay, now just, why don't you just like tickle her and both of you giggle? And I'm just going, ha, 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 just smiling, like fake laughing, because like, it's so over the top, like make believe, but every picture we take is kind of like that. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what Instagram is nothing but.
That's true.
We judge other people's lives and our own life based on what we know are lies.
A deception, exactly.
But for some,
and that's the thing that makes this so dangerous. When we begin to change our behavior based on a lie, then we're not living in reality.
Okay, so can we dig a little deeper on that real quick while we're here?
We can.
Okay, but first, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors. Thank you, Randy, for pointing that out. He's trying to be all subtle, pointing at the paper. He wrote break in red letters.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
All right, guys, we are back, and I want to dive a little bit deeper on this idea of like pictures are kind of what made me think of it. But like when you're taking a picture for Instagram or for social media, everything's got to be lined up just right. Like, I'll watch Abby. Sorry, you're getting picked on this one, Abby. You have social media and I don't. So like I'll watch her, we'll be out to dinner and we'll be at like Hot Pot or something. So we'll have sushi and a bunch of like pretty things on the table that are all going to get eaten. And she's like lining them up all just perfect for this picture. And then she'll take a little picture up above the table and like show the whole spread of the table. And like she knows that that's like kind of a fake moment. Like she's lining everything up right. Right. And like, so we all do that. Right. But then we look at somebody else's page. And it's like we forget that they did the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How do we like lose that filter when we're looking at somebody else's life?
And that in and of itself, you know, that's fairly innocuous. So you're taking a picture of food.
Right. It's innocent. Right.
It's innocent, completely innocent. But I mentioned at the beginning that I grew up thinking that I just wasn't good enough. Well, that marked my life. I wouldn't volunteer for things. I wouldn't offer to do things because I wasn't sure that I could do them because I told myself that I couldn't get it done.
Right.
So this actually happened before I read the book, but I was doing a Bible study and did a Bible study on King Saul from the Old Testament.
Okay.
King Saul starts out, okay, he's a big dude. He's head and shoulders taller than everybody else in the kingdom. And he becomes king, and then he makes three mistakes, or you could say he commits three sins. He sacrifices to God when only the priest should be doing that. He chooses not to obey God. God said, when you take over this city, kill all the animals. Mm-hmm. And he keeps them instead. And then finally, he actually threatens to kill his son, Jonathan, because when Jonathan goes and fights a Philistine garrison, it starts a rout of the Philistine armies. And Saul, as Israel jumps up to join Jonathan, who is single-handedly putting the Philistine army to flight, Saul says, nobody can eat anything today. We're going to declare a fast today. Well, Jonathan didn't hear that. And at some point, he comes across a tree with a hive of honey.
Any man that ate would die.
Right, yeah, right. He said, any man that ate would die. And Jonathan sees some honey and he eats it. And afterward, Saul finds out, and Saul says, you got to die. Now, Saul's initial swearing was done without consulting the priest, without talking to God. So all of that was invalid. But
he takes his word back, and he doesn't actually kill him.
That's right.
And so it's kind of like he doesn't even follow through.
It's a mess.
But he probably would have killed anybody else that did it.
Possibly. But the people actually had to stand up for Jonathan and say, listen, Jonathan is the hero the battle today.
I forgot about that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the middle of, I think it's in the second sin, Samuel comes walking up after telling Saul, kill all the animals. And Samuel comes walking up and Saul says, I've obeyed the Lord. We've won the battle. And Saul just says, then what's all this bleeding of sheep that I hear?
Samuel says that.
And Saul says, well, you know, I improved the bloodline of the flocks and I kept some. And
He's lying to himself.
Samuel says, even though you were small in your own eyes, didn't God make you king over Israel? Saul had an inferiority complex. And when you look back at everything that Saul did and all of the sins that he committed, it all goes back to that. Saul had an inferiority complex, even as king of Israel. So that drove me to look for inferiority complexes throughout Scripture. And the major one that I found, the one that helped me deal with my own lack of self-esteem, is actually the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul looks at himself and says, I'm the chief of all sinners. But God has called me. Paul said, I don't have an inferiority complex. I am inferior. But God took me and made me something different. And I began to think about that, began to realize that the gifts that he gives us so that we can do certain things in a supernatural way. And all of a sudden, I didn't have to worry about, can I do it or can't I do it? Now I was concerned about, okay, so what's my gift and how can I best use my gift? And from that point on, ministry began to, first of all, it was much more enjoyable. It was much more effective. And I began to lose that concern of, I just can't do anything quite right. Because the truth of the matter was, and this goes back to a TV show, I'm binging Community right now, which... It is what it is. It's a well-written show. But in one particular episode, the main character is pretty much a jerk.
He's a narcissist.
He's definitely a narcissist. He has a flashback, and his mom in the flashback tells him, now, Jeffrey, you're just the best little boy.
And you're so special.
You're so special, and everything you do will work out. And well, in this particular episode, everything doesn't work out. And near the end of the episode, he has the same flashback, same character, same setting. But his mom is saying, now, Jeffrey, you are normal. And there are one or two things that you'll really do well in. And there's a lot of things that you'll be average in. And a couple of things you're going to be bad at. Well, that's the reality that I lived in. And once I figured that out, then I could focus on, okay, so what gifts has God given me? How can I use those gifts to kind of help me find what I need to be doing in the world?
Right. Like, I know in the past, talking on this podcast, you've mentioned how you tried your hand at like evangelism. And you said how hard that was for you. And
still is.
It does not come naturally to you.
I do it.
You do it.
Because we're commanded to do it.
But it doesn't come easy.
No.
But you're like, but teaching, that comes easy to me. I like to learn and teach. And so like, it seems to me what you're saying is you were living in a false reality.
Absolutely, I was.
And then you recognized the truth grounded in God's reality, in the actual world we live in.
The first step was to recognize the lie that I was telling myself.
This is like AA.
Yeah, yeah.
The first step is admitting.
Hi, I'm Randy, and I live in a lie.
But yeah, the first step is admitting you have a problem, right? And you recognized, okay, I am living in a make-believe reality by thinking this. So what's the truth? And you went to God's word for that truth.
Yeah.
That he has made you a particular way. And okay, so here's a question. You found your gifting.
Yeah.
And you said, okay, this is what I'm good at. Right. How did you find your gifting?
Oh, great question. So I found my gifting, first of all, by studying what the Bible has to say about gifts and recognizing that there are four lists of gifts And one of them, we are all supposed to have. One of them, leaders in the church has. One of the list of gifts, God gives and he takes away, gives and he takes away. And then one is just kind of a hodgepodge of a bunch of them that particularly Paul is talking about. But he's using it to communicate a very specific reality that we don't all have the same gifts.
Yeah.
That God gives us different gifts, so we'll need each other.
And what's so funny about everything you just said is how many people, even though it says, and not everyone will have all these gifts, turn around and then start looking at people and going, well, you need this gift.
That's right.
And you need this
gift. You've got to have that gift.
It's like, wait, the verse itself says,
or pray for that gift.
Right, right. But it's like, look, you're not going to have all these gifts, and that's okay. It's fine.
In fact, it's better that way, because
then you can be really good at what you are gifted at.
You can be really good at what you are gifted at, and you will never get to the point that you can do it on your own, which is another lie we tell ourselves. I've got this. I can do it myself.
The other thing is when you add the whole, well, pray for the gift. What if you don't get it? Then do you put it on you? Like, I'm not doing enough, or I'm not, why can't I have
that
gift?
There are those who do that.
Right. We shouldn't do that. We should be like, this is who God made me.
Yes.
And this is how I am. And this is how I am wired to serve the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I'm going to lean into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Very cool.
Now, this was true 35 years ago. It's especially true today, because I think today we're seeing an actual attack on truth.
We did a whole podcast episode on truth. I mean, everything is contested now. It's like the fabric of reality is just being torn at the seams. And what's
there
so odd
is
to me,
no objective truth.
Right.
That's the claim.
Literally, you can't have that worldview and believe in science. Like, you can't.
And it's a self-contradictory view.
Right. It immediately defeats itself.
Right, right, right.
But, like, for whatever reason, it just sounds nice and it sounds loving to say that. And so we're like, yeah, that's how it works. But it's like, no, you cannot live in that reality and have science and have reality.
That's right. That's right.
You can't have anything with
that. If somebody tells you that there is no such thing as objective truth, just ask them. So is that an objective truth for you?
Exactly. Exactly.
If it's not, then apparently there is objective truth.
Right. Right. It's the same thing with the agnostic argument. The whole, you know, I don't know if there's a God. I can't know that for certain. I can't know anything for certain. Well, do you know that for certain? You know, it just immediately crumbles. But yeah, it's like we have to stand firm on reality, right? And anybody that believes in science, anybody that believes in testing the world around us to see how it operates, how it functions, how truth works,
yeah,
has to kind of wonder, well, wait, like, where do I go for what science can't test?
And this is not a religious thing. It's not that people who believe in God believe in objective truth and others don't. You've just mentioned scientists. Science is based on repeatable occurrences, on truths that are there.
Right.
Historiographers, historians write about what happened, not what they think happened, not the perception of what happened. You can
not
write
the philosophical nature of what might have happened. That,
you know. Right, 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 right. And that the goal of history is not to go back and judge them on what happened on the basis of a moral and ethic that's held 200, 300, 400 years later. It's to record the reality of what took place.
Right. Right. And so, yeah, to go along with what you're currently saying there is like you've got people going back and destroying parts of history because they don't like the way that it went down. And it's like, you don't have to like the way it went down. We can all agree it went down very poorly.
Right.
And we should learn from it and do better. And it should be there to serve as a reminder of what atrocities can happen.
That's what I loved about our podcast with Richard Raines. I thought it was one of the better interviews that we did. As he was talking about George Washington, he talked about slavery, and he said George Washington failed when it came to slavery.
Yes, he did.
He should have freed his slaves. He, in fact, Richard said he probably knew that he should free his slaves.
He made statements regarding it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he chose not to. Now, he treated them very justly. He educated them. He even provided for their freedom after Martha would die.
Right. But that doesn't excuse what he did.
Right.
And but simultaneously, it also doesn't taint everything good he did.
And that's what I loved about what Richard said. It doesn't change that Washington was a wonderful man.
Right.
He was the father of our country, first in the hearts of his countrymen.
Right. Right. Like, I mean, like if Genghis Khan's little kids grew up and, you know, Genghis Khan, you know, let's look, I'm making things up here, but let's say he never stole anything and he told his kids, don't steal.
Right.
And they were like, OK, great. I learned something good for you from you. OK, they can take that and go, oh, that's a good lesson. And then they can go, oh, but we shouldn't, you know, pillage and rape and destroy and murder and burn all the earth. You know what I mean? Like, because he did all those things and that's bad. But like, if he taught them one good thing, that's still one good thing.
At least that's a good thing.
Right. Yeah. Like, even the worst person on earth can do something good and teach you something good.
And we don't go back and rewrite history because we disagree with one or two elements.
Right. Right. So in a similar way, I think where you're kind of connecting this is that it's the same with the world we live in today. It is what it is. It's not a subjective experience.
Right.
It's really happening a certain way. Like if you put three people in a room and they all see a robbery and then you ask them what just happened, they're going to say, oh, I just saw a robbery. And if one person goes, yeah, you know, Ronald McDonald came in and started throwing hamburgers at people and we all cheered. That's not true just because they said it. We would lock that person up and say they're crazy because they just witnessed something atrocious and said that it was good. But then upon people's personal experiences, for whatever reason, we give them a pass and say, oh, yeah, whatever you felt, that must be true.
Well, you know, it'd be interesting. I have never seen someone say how we got where we are, but where we are today is a person can simply begin to say something and suddenly we must accept that. A person can begin to say, I am no longer a man, I'm a woman.
Right.
And they can go into the women's bathroom, they can play women's sports.
Right. The problem, and honestly, more than anything, look, people do things that are sinful in the eyes of God all the time, right? The reason we're kind of picking on that for this instance here is that it's expected that everybody else has to play along with that ideology too now.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's not the truth. And we don't have to act like it is just because you tell me I have to act like it is, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's the main point. I mean, the whole issue of transgender, I don't want to get into that. We've done a podcast on that.
I don't know that we have.
Maybe not.
Well, we just did.
Well,
congratulations.
We mentioned it. But that's not the issue here. The issue is just because I say it, that doesn't make it true.
Right. It needs rational, scientific evidence.
And there is an objective reality out there. If what I'm saying doesn't conform to the objective reality, it's not true.
Right. And what I just said, like scientific evidence, that's not true. Not everything has scientific evidence. Right. Historical evidence, rational, logical evidence. Yeah. It doesn't have to all be scientifically proven. There needs to be supporting evidence of some kind, though. And it's like just taking your word for how you feel on something doesn't make it true in any situation. You know, we were pointing out one situation, but there's a lot of things going on like that right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like the idea that all religions can be true. Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
Explain that one to me. How's that? So
when they contradict each other.
Right, Right. So Christianity says there is one true God and that he created all other life, right? That everything came from him, which would mean that if there were other gods, that those were creations, therefore less superior than Yahweh, the God of the Bible, yeah. Right? Okay, but then I've got Islam, or I've got, you know, Hinduism. Let's do Hinduism, sure. Where there's Brahman, which is the God at the center of all things, and he's this impersonal, like, detached God, right? And then you've got all other realities are basically God experiencing himself, so we're all God, and we're all, or you've got the Mormons where everyone can become a God. Well, wait, all three of those things we just said all kind of contradict in a way.
They definitely contradict each other.
And there's worldviews that are like, nah, you can have it all, man. And it's like, no, you can't. Because that's not the way truth works. And this is an attack on truth.
Yeah.
And that's why we're talking about this.
Very much so. Very much so.
So stop lying to yourself.
Right.
Because you're only contributing to bigger problems.
So what do we do? What do we do? That's the real question. First of all, first step, start looking at what you believe. Are you telling yourselves lies? Are you living in false realities? Okay. Big rabbit trail here. Open a big parentheses.
Okay.
My sister, while my mom was still alive, used to tell me, and she told me this several times, your mother is the happiest person I know because she creates her own reality, and it's a wonderful reality, and then she lives in it. Now, mom was going through dementia, but what she said was very true. Mom remembered only the good in her life. She didn't remember the struggles, and it made her incredibly happy as she was coming to the end of her life. In fact, mom had a visit from Santa Claus near the end of her life. Now, we don't know exactly what happened, but what we can piece together, mom was in a long-term care facility, and she had the door that led into her apartment. Straight across from that door was a door that led outside, and you could open it and walk outside. That door had glass in it. We think mom came out in a dim room. Her pajamas were red. Her hair was white. She looked outside and saw her reflection in the door and thought, red suit, white hair, it's Santa Claus. And she opened the door and she went out. They found her outside and helped her get back inside. Now, I say that because there's mom going through dementia, but she was creating a reality that she was living in. And that reality for her that night was dangerous.
Right.
Thank goodness they had the doors set on alarms.
She was happy.
So they knew when it, she was very happy. And that's what we all do. We create these realities usually to make ourselves happy. Sometimes we create realities that depress ourselves.
Yeah, but anybody that's gone through depression, like, there is something comforting about depression. I don't know if you've ever been, like, super depressed. Like, I went through, like, 3 or 4 years of my life back in, like, college when I was drinking very heavily and I was, like, doing lots of things I shouldn't have been doing. But there's something comforting about depression, and you kind of, you almost do things that you know are bad because it's familiar to you.
Interesting.
And so I've kind of wondered if there isn't
so
like
there is
some kind
level of comfort.
Right. Like it's like comfortably numb, you know, that like Pink Floyd song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of that, like it's, and so I've wondered if people kind of perpetuate that.
Yeah.
Subconsciously, or maybe even knowingly, but to that you're kind of familiar with how sad you are or something, so you want more of it. But
so the first step is to figure out the lies that you tell ourselves, and a lot of times I don't think we can figure that out on our own. I think we have to go to somebody else,
yeah,
and say, hey, what are the lies that I'm telling myself?
Yeah, yep. There's a cool tool. So I do like coaching stuff on the side for anybody listening. But what we do is one of our tools is it's called the Leadership Mirror. And it kind of stops short because really what you're asking somebody is like, what is it like to be led by you? So like, you know, are you a reactionary person or are you somebody that like plans ahead and then responds, right? Because you're confident in that situation. Or are you like quick to get angry or are you slow to get angry? Like questions like that, right? Yeah. But you can do that with anything.
Yeah.
You can sit down and go,
go beyond leadership.
Exactly. Like, what would it be like to be on the other side of me when I'm saying self-deprecating things?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what do other people see when they look at me? Do they see what I see when I look at me? What do they feel when I say those things about me? You know what I mean? Like,
and sometimes the only way to answer that question is to get somebody and ask them.
Exactly. Exactly. But I guess what I'm saying is it's both. You need some self-reflection.
Right.
But you need to take it to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that other person might be a friend, might be a parent, might be a child, one of your children.
Kids are honest, man.
Oh, they're brutally honest.
Yeah, they'll tell you straight up. Like, am I fat? Yep. They're also way too literal. Here, the middle schoolers, my just go-to greeting is, what's up? And every single one of them, the sky, and they just think they're the cleverest, sneakiest people. And at this point, they do it because they know I hate it. But it's a thing. Like, kids will tell you what's up.
Yep.
Well, literally, they'll tell you what's up, the sky.
All right. So,
Definitely.
So the second step then is to figure out what the truth is. Now, as Christians, we go to the Bible to help us figure out the truth. The Bible actually has quite a bit to say about truth, and especially about Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am truth. So, you know, there's a level of engagement with Jesus can help us give the dose of reality that we need.
Mm-hmm. I would argue that from a non-Christian tradition, that all of reality, when you really seek the truth, it all points back to Christ.
I think you're right.
That you will get to the ends of questions where you go, wait, but then what? And it always ends up at God.
And to be honest, this is why I think at least the Christian scientists that I know of, they're very quick to say there's no hesitation. Science and religion are friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it was the Christians that started scientific method.
Very much so.
It was the Christians that started the universities. It was the Christians that started the schools. Yeah, hospitals. Yeah. The problem is we've all handed it over to the secular world.
We've handed it over to the government, and the church has stepped aside.
Right. And so now we look to the government to do everything. But in the past, the church was the one that was the big player that was helping everybody.
Very much so.
And the government's just doing a real bang up job, if you ask me. A little bit of sarcasm.
Are you living in reality there, Zach?
That must have been a lie that I tell myself. I'm sorry, but yeah, you know, we as the church started all those things, and I think Christians in a way look at science as the enemy today because it's always scientists that will say, "Oh, there's no God," or "There's this or that."
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, no, it comes back to, we can play nice.
Yeah,
Christianity and science are friends, like you said.
I was very impressed as I was I in the university. I studied pure math, so it's a pure science. It's the number of early mathematicians who were also theologians is astounding. Pascal, Leibniz, the inventor of calculus. Mm-hmm. Wrote a book on theology.
Yeah.
The
guy that invented anesthesia was a Christian. He looked, he read the Bible and realized that that God put Adam to sleep when he took his rib out. And up until that point, they would just do surgeries.
Is that legit?
That is the story I've always heard. I feel like I have to Google that now to make sure. But I'll do it once we start talking.
Because, of course, the internet is all true.
Well, yeah, dude. Another lie we tell ourselves.
Another false reality that we live in.
So step one was admitting we have a problem, right? Was recognizing that we tell ourselves lies.
Right.
Step two was...
Find the truth.
Get to the truth. What is the truth really? And where can we find that?
Step three is really start telling yourself the truth. So I had an inferiority complex. It wasn't until I discovered gifts and I began to say, what's my gift? What's my gift? What's my gift? And I began to look for what my gift was and try different things to figure out what my gift was. Then things started turning around for me. And that wasn't the only lie that I told myself. There are other lies that we tell ourselves. Find the truth. Start telling yourself the truth instead of the lie. Very forcefully and intentionally start telling yourself, no. That I've been saying is a lie. This is the truth.
And I hate that we even have to do this, but like just through absolute clarity, this is not like a word of faith thing we're like speaking it into existence. This isn't, what's it called? The M word. Come on, man.
I don't know what you're
the new agey term, speaking into existence. What do we got? Come on, man. I'll think of it. I'll get back to it. Okay. Whatever. You're not speaking it into existence.
No. You are recognizing that it exists already.
Right. This is just the truth.
The existence is speaking into you. You're not speaking something into existence. That which exists.
That was pretty good, dude.
Is now speaking into you.
That was pretty good. I need to
trademark that.
You probably didn't say it first, but you know what? That was nice. That was smooth. Good stuff. You silver tongued devil. But it's okay. What this reminds me of is the two men that build their houses, and one builds his house on sand, right?
Yeah.
But it crumbles when the wind starts to blow and the ground starts to shift, it settles and it all falls apart because it's built on sand. But then the other man builds his house on the rock.
Right.
And it's stable. There's a foundation. And that's what Jesus says. He is the rock. He is the truth. He is that firm foundation upon which you can build and you won't be shaken. You won't fall apart.
Okay. Another rabbit trail.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Manifestation. The word is manifestation.
Manifestation. Yes. Now I know what you're going for.
I'm sorry. It just came out of nowhere and I had to say it. All right.
Okay. So you talk about building your house on rock, building your house on sand. What fool would ever build his house on sand? Recently, I was thinking about that.
You did a sermon on this.
I may have. Yeah. So what I came up with was this. Oh, yeah. That's when I showed the rock bed in South Korea, wasn't it?
Yes, the jade bed, yeah.
The jade bed. If you've ever slept on a rock, it's not very comfortable. But if you've ever slept on sand, sand's kind of nice to sleep on.
It's kind of cool.
It is. It kind of molds in your body. It's soft. What kind of a fool would build his house on sand? Well, the kind of a fool that's looking for self-comfort.
Right.
He's not looking for a firm foundation.
Right.
He's looking for an easy life. So, hey, we'll just build this house here on the sand because the sand's nice and comfortable. And then it rains and the whole house falls down on top of me.
Well, it's like they say ignorance is bliss for a reason. Right.
That's right.
Because when you shake off the truth and you turn from the truth and you just accept the reality that you want, you don't have to face all the hard parts that go with it because you can just run from them. Right.
Right.
But then that all crumbles and that'll all fall apart one day. But if you face reality as hard as it is and as uncomfortable as it is and as difficult as it can be, it is much more sound and stable and it sets you up better down the road.
Yes, it does. Sometimes reality hurts.
Right.
But it's better for you in the long term.
Right. That doesn't mean reality always hurts.
No.
In a lot of these situations, reality is better than the lie you tell yourself.
Far better. Think of, you brought this up, so I'm going to go back and dig a little bit
deeper. Or I should say more comfortable. Sorry. It's always better.
You mentioned there was a time when you would drink a lot of alcohol.
Yeah.
What were you telling yourself when you drank the alcohol?
Well, I generally drank because I didn't think I was as fun at parties. I didn't think that I was as good at talking to people.
So you were saying this will loosen me up.
It was like a social lubricant, right?
Yeah.
But then the problem was, look, like, and here's the deal. I'll just tell you where my stance is on alcohol these days. I have no qualms with anybody that wants to have a couple drinks. I'll gladly have a couple drinks with you, but I stop at a couple.
Right.
And used to, I didn't, because I thought if I kept going, I'd be more fun. Yeah. And that's not true. You just turn into a drooling idiot in the corner, which isn't fun.
And that was the reality.
That's the reality. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm going to be really cool.
Once you figured that out,
yeah,
it changed the way you behave.
Exactly. It took a little more than that. But yeah. Yes, exactly.
There's some addiction things there too.
Right. Never that deep. But we stopped just short of that.
Yeah,
so
okay.
It could have been a problem.
Okay.
But it didn't make it that far, right?
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, it's just I honestly think you definitely in that situation, I myself got to a point where I was so depressed that I came out of it.
Okay.
For a lot of people, they need somebody to point out the problems in their lives. And we're going back to that. You can't do this alone thing. Or maybe some people can, but that doesn't mean everybody can.
Right.
The best thing you can do is have good, loving people around you that aren't just going to tell you what you want to hear, but that can lovingly tell you what you need to hear.
One of the things that I don't even know if we should go here, but I'm going to do it. You mentioned to me the other day that the government formed a Ministry of Truth.
It didn't go through.
And it didn't go through.
Yeah.
And that was the point. It didn't go through because people are people are pretty openly saying, how do we know what's true? Who could, if you have a Ministry of Truth, who would you put in it to run it?
Who would you trust to run it?
Who would you trust to run it?
Right.
Because everybody lies.
If only there was somebody perfect. Somebody that say never sinned.
Somebody who said, I am truth.
Maybe somebody that designed everything that exists. So maybe they understand the inner workings that maybe they could be the way we know truth. I'm being a little sarcastic here.
Yeah, just a bit.
Jesus. That's who I'm talking about, in case you're wondering. They knew.
Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, are you a king? And Jesus said, that's what you say. You say that I'm a king. I was born for this, come into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate then said, what is truth? Seems like we've been asking that every day since then. What is truth? If we reject Jesus, objectivity is in jeopardy.
Right. Right. I mean, without God, objectivity crumbles. I mean, that's the truth of the matter.
It certainly can.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
We I don't know keep... that it always does, but it certainly can.
Okay, so for instance, induction is the idea that what happens tomorrow builds on what happened today, right? Mm-hmm. Like that I know yesterday, or I know for a fact that tomorrow, I can trust in tomorrow that the world isn't going to explode into smithereens just randomly,
right?
Because that's just the way it is. No, I know that there's a reality that I'm grounded in.
Yeah.
That day to day, like this wood table isn't going to turn into liquid.
Right.
Because it's wood and it's going to be wood.
The sun is going to rise tomorrow at about 30, whatever it is.
Because that's what it's always done.
Because it's done that, and we've measured that, and we see that.
Right. The atheist that believes in no God says that we live in a chaotic, meaningless, purposeless world, right? That just so happens to be. Yet they wake up every morning and believe that tomorrow they're going to do the same thing, that I'm going to be able to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be able to put my feet on solid ground. It's not going to be liquid. It's not going to be gas. I'm not going to be able to fly tomorrow. This, a wood table's a wood table. A wall's a wall. It's a wall's not a floor. Like, they accept all that, but they can't accept that that has to come from something that creates order. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I'm saying objectivity itself relies on God, because God orders things. That's probably not a good enough explanation for an atheist, but that's okay. We love you anyways.
Jesus, again, he said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I think that's ultimately what we're talking about here in this podcast, in this particular episode. We'll know the truth, we'll accept the truth, we'll believe the truth. And there is freedom when reality is what we live in.
Right. I mean, it takes away the freedom to choose everything about your reality.
Right.
But that doesn't take away every choice in your reality, in reality. I shouldn't say your reality. The problem is we want to tailor fit every aspect of our reality today in the way we want it to be.
Right.
And you lose that when you accept the truth as it is.
Right.
And I think that's scary to some people.
Yeah.
But as you said, there's freedom in knowing that you're standing on a firm foundation of, you know, this is how it really is. This is how things work. This is how the world works.
So at least part of what governs my life, and I think governs the life of most Christians, is the reality that we do live in and being able to look at that objectively.
Right.
So we come to an issue like, for example, abortion. Mm. And for me, it's pretty cut and dried. Is the fetus human or not? Well, if you say that it is human, then is the fetus alive or not? And if you say that it's alive, then abortion becomes
wrong,
killing
right
a human life, and right. that is defined in scripture as murder,
right? Not just scripture. I mean, taking a human life in by anybody's standards is murder.
Not anybody's, but
well, it's killing.
Yeah,
it's killing.
Yeah,
and the unjust killing of someone is murder.
Yeah.
That's societal.
I believe that's reality.
Yeah, that's reality. I mean, that's not just – I mean, it came from the Bible, but it's right. It is also just kind of imprinted on us. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of have to start bending the reality to start working mm-hmm. for a pro-abortion right. worldview.
It's either not a human or it's not alive.
Right. And that's – look, that's just one example. I mean, we've talked about exactly. that at length in our Roe v. Wade episode. But, like, it's just – this is how things work. They either do or they don't. They are or they aren't. Like, everything is – not everything, but reality is objective. The truth is objective. Maybe not in every single situation. There are things that – are subjective in the world, but at the heart of morality, at the heart is necessary and needed in the world, there is an objective truth.
We're probably oversimplifying, and probably someone who is a philosopher by nature might be able to question what we're saying, but I think for most of us, it does make sense.
I'll say this. Maybe they can, of course, they could question what we're saying, and they could probably find a million holes in it because we're dummies, but they can't debunk the Bible because nobody's done it in 2,000 years. They're not going to. It's the truth. It is what it is. It is objective. It's reality. And if you do not know Jesus and you don't know his word, please get to know him in it. Go find out what you're lying to yourself about. Go seek the truth. Go get some good people around you. Ask them, you know, is this true about me, what I'm saying? And don't just check with one or two people. Check with several people that you trust. go to God's word, find out what it says about you, what God says about you, who you are, what reality is like, and then figure out how to tell yourself the truth and lean into the truth. That's a summary.
Sounds good to me. That's a summary.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for hanging out with us. If you got questions, you can send those to questions@becomehope.com or saltysaints@becomehope.com. Please check out lifeaudio.com. They are our partners and they've got tons and tons of podcasts and they just keep adding day after day. And they've got podcasts on Bible study, on parenting, on, I think we're getting ready to do a podcast with another podcast on there. So that'll be kind of fun. And you should check that out as well. Thank you guys once again for listening. And until next time, stay salty.
Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. God invites us to cultivate thankful hearts by turning our eyes toward Him in good times and bad. To listen to more Abide Christian Meditations, just go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Christian Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.